When I first hit on Lady Dynamite, I couldn't believe what I was seeing, by the way.
Oh, that's very kind of you to watch it even, because there's so much beautiful content out there.
It's right? So fucking good. It is, it truly blows. I had to watch the opening like 4 times, and then I made my husband, I was like, you don't understand, watch. You're not going to believe this.
No, you made me watch it, too. You texted me and said, you have to watch this.
I'm so sorry. No,
it's so good. And you're a genius. And I wish I had a better word than absurd. But I love...
Goon.
Goon.
Goonie.
I love how goony your humor is. Goonie. We should incorporate Goonie. So thank you so much, though, for being here.
No, thank you for having me, and I love to, it's fun. We're at a large dining table. If people, is everybody known here? Are you guys kind of like the morning zoo of the podcast?
Yeah, they
the
help
podcast?
Out.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
They're the gallery.
They're the gallery, the peanut gallery. Okay, that's nice. That's nice to have a responsive, kind faces.
Well, the weird thing is that, you know, Sim and I started this. I ordered microphones off of Amazon,
Good
and I was
work.
Like, I'm going to start a relationship advice podcast and call it Unqualified. Oh. And now we've sort of grown into a thing, and we get people like you, and you're suddenly talking to strangers with us. And
Anna's been on my ass for 3 months now, whenever Lady Dynamite came out.
Oh, well, I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful. And I'm so excited to give unfiltered advice, even when people don't ask for it.
Yes. And we let ourselves off the hook because we're unqualified.
I have this pressured speech sometimes as I get older to like go, I know what you should do. I have to tell you right now. And I have to stop myself sometimes from just telling everyone everything I think.
It feels so good.
It does. It does feel good. There's like a release. And then
and
they walk away.
And you're famous, so they don't, nobody gets to talk back to you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know about that. I'm sure you, yes, it's the social media can have its, and also my father. I can call my dad and get some bad reviews. Honey, I don't understand. You know, I don't get it, but, you know, it's not up to me. It seems like you're still, you know, investing where you need to make money. I watched a show with some friends, and we turned it off. I think everyone was very proud. Okay. You don't get it. I mean, what are your parents? Are your parents, are they?
They're north of Seattle.
Okay.
And I feel like there's an odd similarity a little bit between Minnesota and Washington State.
The dreary.
A little dreary. People wanting to be matter of fact. They don't want to, like, you know, inflate your ego too much. You know, so my hair is very blonde. I feel like when I go back, you know, like my mom, I was fortunate enough to have parents that completely irrationally believed in me.
Aww.
Like to the kind of thing where like they would call the principal and be like, maybe you should cast her as the lead. You know, we know that she's short, but don't overlook her. She's been rehearsing for 3 months. Just don't overlook our little Ani.
But you know what? That's good management.
Absolutely.
You know? Well, it was amazing. But as a result, when I got Scary Movie, which is my first big job, my mom... I think that they really thought that my first job would be like Amelia Earhart or like Joan of Arc or like
I'm a nun in El Salvador.
Yeah.
Fighting Oscar.
Yeah. My mom is always like, but they just don't know how dramatic you are. They just don't know, which is so sweet. But there is also the, I mean, I don't think she told any of her friends about Scary Movie. She certainly didn't tell her parents. Like, there was a bit of like, this is how you're, this is how you're going to start? Are you sure? You're getting sprayed on the ceiling with semen? Ani. Oh,
it's earthy. It's like, oh, my God. Yes.
Did your parents believe?
Well, they're slowly losing their hearing, so I think their support goes up. the harder it is to hear what I'm saying. No, they're super supportive, and they're also super busy. Like, my mom's just like, honey, you know, whatever, good for you. And we are in Taiwan having a wonderful time because I'm in the Delta Sky Lounge. And I just married my million milers. They're high, like having a wonderful time. So we're actually going to go on have you ever done this? Gone on a cruise with your parents?
No, I've never. I don't know if I would be able to do that.
We're going on a cruise to Norway for 2 weeks with my parents, my husband, and
I. To see the fjords.
And I'm excited, but also a little terrified. So anyway, I'm bringing a notebook. So I can write things down.
Good.
Things that happen in case they find my body.
Will you, if I give
my parents are out. Anyways, I read too much noir, Norwegian noir. But yes, I'll let you know. It should be really fun. My parents are really fun.
Are they Norwegian?
Yeah, my mom is partly, but, you know, in the American way of being a mutt.
Right.
A number of things.
You spent your childhood in Southern California and then moved to Duluth?
No, I was born in a naval base and then my parents moved to Florida and then to Duluth. I grew up in Minnesota for 21 years of my life. And I'm going back there to do a commencement speech, which I'm practicing tonight for the University of Minnesota.
Wow.
Be yourself.
Exactly. Keep trying. You know,
the road out there is paved with hardships.
There's nothing you can't do if you don't set your mind to it. Lose yourself in the music the moment you want it. Never let it go. Oh, only get one shot. Oh, wait a minute. That's Mr. M&M's.
No, that would be, I would be terrified to write a commencement speech because really what other message, like just lay low. Hey, don't take any risks, guys. It's actually kind of a smarter pathway.
Things can go to shit real fast. Yeah. And don't burn those bridges with the Padres.
Let's start thinking about the college debt, y'all, huh?
Well, that's actually the part of my speech. When does this air? Hopefully it won't. I mean, not.
I'm not sure. When is your commencement?
It's on the Sunday.
It's this Sunday. Yeah. Okay, you'll already have had.
Oh, my God. Fantastic. I mean, not that it matters. No one will be seeing my commencement speech. But the hilarious part was that they asked me to do it, and they asked, they said, for no money. And from what I understand, that I guess is something that colleges do. They say, oh, can you do this? You paid $80,000 to go here, whatever it is, 20 years ago. Now, can you do this for free? So that's what my speech is all about getting lowballed, and that you've got, it's all about salary negotiation when you have a liberal arts degree. You go in there and you come back with $20,000, and then they say, what? And they give you some passive aggressive email saying, we are a state funded institution and we have to be conservative with our resources. You weren't that way with the track, the $300 million track, and the coach isn't living check to check.
This is Jack, by the way.
Hello, Jack.
Jack, can you say hi to Maria?
Hello, Jack.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you say hi, Maria?
Hi.
Hi, I like your glasses.
Thank you.
Those are all nice. Are you learning to, do you read anything yet, Jack?
No.
No, not yet. Okay. But do you have a favorite book, though, that your parents read you?
Yes.
What is it?
I won't tell you.
Okay,
Because you can't remember? Sometimes you say that when you can't remember things.
That's okay.
Is it Captain Underpants? What? Honey, we... That's Mrs. Hannigan. Impression by my son, Jack Pratt. We gotta go bathroom.
Yay, bedroom.
I love you, honey. I love you.
He keeps bringing the microphone into his face, and he keeps hitting his head with the microphone. He's having fun.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I didn't mean to choke you. Can you scoot under the table?
Yeah, let's grab some dinner.
Oh, careful.
There's pizza in there.
He's going underneath the table.
That's more fun for a 4-year-old.
Underneath.
Thanks, Jack. I love you.
Bye, Jack. He popped up on my side.
Bye.
He's fine. He's a good guy.
Bye, Jack.
So, okay, so you're, I love this speech of low quality.
I think it's so funny just because that isn't, I am passionate about open book accounting. Like, I just, people are not paid the same, and especially comedy clubs, so there's no union. And so I try to tell everybody I'm working for what I make, and then, you know, show them the percentage of what I'm making compared to what they're making, so they know my mindset of what's fair, fair pay. I mean, that I love that kind of stuff. I love not that I know what I'm talking about, or that I haven't taken a certificate class in bookkeeping from Glendale Community College. I went to the first class, and then I couldn't make it. I made it 2 hours, and then I fell over. And I was like, I can't do it. Married George. She's a great teacher. Everyone loves her, apparently, on the website. But yeah, so I like the intricacies of small business ownership.
Well, who doesn't, Maria? Who doesn't? Thank you so much. Maria, can I ask you a personal question?
Yes, of course.
When were you last single? You don't have to really be specific.
Okay, let me see. So it was 4 years ago. My husband and I have been together for 4 years, both of us a record. He's 53. I'm 46. I had never had a relationship over 1 year. He had never had one over 3 years. So when we met each other, we said, we are doing this because clearly there is something wrong with us. You know, it's not the process. It's us. It's not the people. It's us. So... yeah, we have a therapist. We've gone to workshops and it's super helpful. It's been really helpful
because
I was like, things that don't come to me naturally, like something like, oh, you don't have to take everything personally. If somebody's cranky, or you can just let somebody be and then you can talk again later. Like things and there's a reason I chose stand up for a job is that I like controlled communication through one volume. And then, I know when I get to speak and when I have to stop.
Yes.
Which relationships are not like that.
No. And I like it has been, it's been a learning curve for me. Simple things like, if I can tell that Chris is like feeling a little testy or whatever, I love it when he goes for a run and I'll suggest it because it'll be like, okay, I know you, I want to talk shit out and I want to know, are you mad at me? Are you mad at me? Are you mad at me? Which is like the most annoying thing that I can't help myself from saying it sometimes. What I need to remember is he just needs a little thing and then I need to work out my neediness privately or I'll call Maria.
Yeah, do something else. Yeah, go whatever you're gonna do. Look at a clog online. That's what I do. Look at a laced clog. Put it in a bag and then or a cart and then let it sit there for a couple of weeks. Take it out of the cart. Put it back in again. gonna have to buy that clog.
You're really fucking with clogs unlimited, man. Their inventory, they were counting on being able to sell that lace pair, dude.
Fuck. I know. I'm so sorry.
Fucking Maria, man. She's logged on again. She put it in the car, but she's not fucking checking out.
How can we get her to sign the deal on this clog?
Okay, yes. So we've come up with deal breakers, which if you were single, okay, these would be deal breakers potentially.
I, as an older lady now, I feel like there is no deal breaker except somebody just not that into you, like not wanting to do the hustle, you know, not wanting to make the hustle to make it work. I don't care. Like I feel like everyone has.
Okay,
there goes the segment. By the way,
I know, totally. Well, okay, then let's change it to: are any of these major red flags?
Okay, I love it.
Perfect. Good pivot.
Yeah. Sorry,
this is a new segment. Are any of these red flags? For specially designed for Maria.
Oh, I love it.
Okay, number one, mm-hmm, he wears slip-on shoes because he doesn't know how to tie his own shoes.
Oh my God, that is no big deal. Number one, that means he's TCB, taking care of business. He's taking care of himself because he's got those slip-ons. He knows what his limits are, and he's fucking honest. I can't tie my shoes.
Well, you know, but he may have not told you.
He may have not told you, but eventually that's going to come out. Even if it does, he's being honest with himself.
Yes.
And that is so valuable.
He's not wandering around. He wears lace clogs. He's not wandering around with, like, you know, sloppy shoelaces all over that he's tripping on.
Yeah.
Like, pretending to be someone else.
Pretending to be somebody else. And, man, I have dated some wealthy dudes who, like, seem like they got it all going on, you know, whatever, fancy pants. And then when you talk to them about what is actually going down in their lives with, you know, whether it's finances or personal or, you know, ex-wives and stuff like that, it is a nightmare of, like, in terms of not accepting who they are or mistakes they've made. They're all mad all the time. And it's like, give me somebody who goes,
this is exactly how much I owe in student loans, and I smoke, and I'm trying to stop, but I can't. And
you know, like, just tell somebody who knows what is. That's all you want.
Yeah.
What the deal? You know, what their thing is, and that they can, and that they're on board, like that they're willing to try.
Okay, number two.
That's my opinion.
I like it. He likes.
I didn't go to graduate school.
He likes to have sex wearing a pair of gray socks. He calls them his sex socks.
Oh my God, that's beautiful. Oh my gosh, what a sweetheart. Number one, he wants to have sex with you, okay? And that is a great value. If he thinks you're sexy with his sexy socks on, oh my God, with sex socks. Sorry, I don't mean to say that improperly. Respect the sex socks. I think that's wonderful, especially if he can express himself physically and also has the confidence of self say, no, these are my fucking sex socks, man. Like, I don't know. That's my
opinion. I love it. Love it. We did sort of, I don't know, we wanted to give you some extra weird ones.
Okay, sure.
Okay. He always wears a Bluetooth headset and answers by saying, Maria, 20 seconds, go.
Well, I like the clarity that he knows he only has 20 seconds. That's awesome. You know, because then it's like, oh, okay, I know what he needs. He only can handle that much. Now, of course, you know, with an addiction, like if somebody's addicted to the, like, whatever it is, their business or drugs or alcohol or sexy sex, well, then that's a whole nother thing. I mean, that's a hard one, because then it's hard to be in a relationship with somebody who's always, like, if he always has his headset on and you can't ever have, like, a back and forth conversation.
Okay.
That, yeah. But if he says, go 20 seconds, and but other times we have times to chit chat and snuggle. And he's got it. It's only on like 8 hours a day. I'm in.
Maria, 20 seconds, go.
I love you so much.
He recreates miniature versions of famous mass murder scenes.
Okay, this is a hard one. Because I dated a guy who I rejected because he wrote some horror movies, and I was not that into it because horror movies are scary. And but now I look back and I think I was a real dum-dum.
Really?
Yes. Because I think that's an art form. And mm-hmm. There are certain parts of me, you know, my creativity. There's just no way you're going to be on board with everything from somebody's creativity. Like, especially like my friends. I have my friend Amy is always just like, she just kind of stares at me when I tell a joke sometimes. And like your most people who love you the most don't get you, you know? Yeah. So why you can expect
I'm
to always.
I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. I think what you're saying is really wise. Like my husband is a hunter, and that's something that I eat meat. I eat the meat that he harvests. But that drive is something that I'm very unfamiliar with. And I have to reconcile that within myself, that there's mysteries to him that I won't know. And that's part of the beauty of the stuff. And
yeah, and I don't want to expect any more of my partner any more or less than I would of a friend. Mm-hmm. So if my friends are kind of jacked up, which they are, I love my friends. My friend just got into a shoving match in a Ralph's with an old racist white guy.
What?
And she's told it on stage, so it's okay. It's my friend Jackie Keeshan. The guy was saying something horrifying, and she had just was listening to Trump on the radio and was really pissed off. And her grandparents from the Armenian genocide. So all these feelings come up. And then she shoved this 85-year-old man. But, you know, like that would frighten me. Like that's kind of – or might scare me. But when it's my friends, I go, oh, yeah, everybody does weird things. Or I've been in a psych ward several times. And I'm okay, or I feel good about myself. So –
No, I'm super fucked up.
Yeah. Why would I expect any more or less from a boyfriend? Like if I have a boyfriend who doesn't show up or shows up super late or doesn't call, you know, it's like, well, my friends always call and they always, you know, like, yeah, I like the idea of like, they're just, it's a friend, you know?
What I didn't tell you guys when we were coming up with this list was that I was in the process a few years ago of recreating an axe murder scene, like a campsite. And it started, you know, those miniature tents you can get at REI? Like, you can't get them. In fact, I had to buy one on eBay for like $200, like just the miniature tent, the sample tent. So, you know,
sample tiny tent.
So, the sample tiny tent. I had a man with an axe and I was like working on, you know, but then I got too lazy. So, I am this person.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I hope that I'm lovable.
Of course.
Like a campsite murder
It's very
attack.
Endearing. It's endearing.
No.
And I want to start a camp. Maybe this is the thing. What if I want to start a camp because somewhere inside me, I want to have some kind of horror thing happen. I'm not going to go as far as to say that I want to come after anybody, but you know, somebody's got to be the bad guy.
But
somebody's got to do it.
But a live action
I'm unexpected.
That's a great idea, like a haunted house camp.
Will you come to my camp?
You know what?
You could be a counselor.
Scared. I could definitely be, if I could be one of the people who had the control where I come out with the
You're going to be a murder with
wood
me?
Chipper? Yeah, like
oh,
that,
we would
I'd
be a
totally
great
on board with that.
You're my wood chipper.
I could come out with a wood chipper.
You volunteered the chipping. Thank you. It's not the prettiest job. God bless you.
I don't mind.
Maria.
You know, whatever we have to put in there. No, what would that be? That would be like What red? I guess it would be meats, like hamburger meat we put in there.
No. We got plenty of healthy campers.
No, I would participate in that.
Thank you.
I wouldn't want to be going through it, though, because that is too scary.
You could leave the arts and crafts center, you know. Sim, what would you lead?
I'm going to be the capture the flag guy.
You have to have double duty. We can't. Our camp is a little bit poor. We can't have just capture the flag guy who works two hours a day.
All PE?
No, you cannot be assigned to all PE. I don't trust your athletic ability.
That's so mean.
Sorry. I'm willing to concede one or two activities, or maybe three or four, but not all. Because you don't go in the water.
Swimming.
No, you don't go in the water.
That's true, I don't. Boating?
Oh, buddy,
you could do
swimming.
Yes, you could be the sail. That's an elitist.
Sailing.
You could totally. That's you're from Long Island. Yeah.
Yes,
sailing.
Sailing. Perfect. Sailing. I don't know how to sail, but I'll figure it out.
1%. Has there ever been an aquatic haunted house where like you're put a buddy swimmer buddy and like they try to drown you? I mean, in a fun way.
Wait a minute. Like it's a haunted aquatic haunted house. You mean aquatic horror movie?
Yeah, but no. Like you'd go out into a lake and like scary things happen to you. For you pay for it, like Halloween.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. We should totally have our campers pay. Yes. People pay to get scared.
We're getting money on this, right?
People pay to get scared. Is that the tagline?
People, you better fucking pay to get scared.
Escape rooms.
Well,
yes.
They have a camp that they do it.
Oh, really?
$1,000. And you go for a weekend, and people just scare the shit out of you like you're in a horror movie.
Oh, I actually, it's really? Happening.
That
can
sounds,
I say?
And they like pour blood.
But I don't think they've done the aquatic type swimming thing that
we got it. We yeah,
we can incorporate Maria's the marine,
twist.
The aquatic,
the lake.
We should retreat.
We gotta have the lake.
Oh, that would be fun. And if you had like somebody scubanizing beneath the dark dock and like grabbing your legs and.
I think that I would come back a healthier person if I went to that camp. I think I need to be really scared. I think because I feel like I'm a really anxious person, and I feel like if I got scared like multiple times rapidly, it would be like, you know, kind of being like shock therapy treatment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And then what if I got all the anxiety scared out of me?
Back. Yes.
Or I could be the killer and scared the scare, and that would.
That wouldn't work.
Relief.
No one will buy that.
Oh, Sim. Come on. What the fuck? I could be Amelia Earhart. I can be the killer. I could be Joan of Arc. Fuck you. I'm calling my parents. They're going to talk to you, mister. I can be whatever the hell I want.
Okay. All right. You talked me into it.
Thanks, Maria. Don't you agree?
Yeah. Yes, of course. I mean, I think we can all be what we. I mean,
it's the commencement speech.
Exactly. I don't. What? Are there any other deal breakers?
Yeah. Sorry.
No.
He plays the cello with his feet.
I think that's wonderful. I mean, as long as you know what. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Yeah, I think I can accept anything. I think, because there was one thing with my beloved, he loved reggae, and I was like, oh God. But you know what you do? You embrace it. Embrace that which disgusts you. Uh-huh. And not that it was just sort of like, I remember reggae from college where it was all these rich white kids vomiting. That's basically what I got from reggae. And it turns out it's based on a political movement from the island nations that were colonized by the British. And there's a lot more interesting reggae lyrics that I could have learned. So, yeah, it's not all about red wine. But I started learning more about it. And now I'm more, definitely more accepting of it. And yeah, but that was another thing, or at least a friend of mine told me, is that irritation is a sign of intimacy. When you get irritated with somebody, it means you're getting closer.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah, because you're spending enough time with each other. Because it happens with friends, but friends in Los Angeles, you don't see them long enough.
That's true.
To have
That's a good
irritation.
Point.
You can just go, oh, I love
I'm but in Marina like, Del Rey. I have to go.
but irritation is different from like true frustration, like or like has a slight undercurrent of charm. Like somebody maybe not taking out the garbage is when you ask them to the night before and they, you know, then it's like you're irritated. But I guess if there's something bigger, you know, like they got a DUI.
Yeah.
That's frustrating.
Yeah. That's more frustrating.
Well, like obviously.
Less irritation, more frustration.
The deal or the true deal breakers are like mass, you know, like addiction and like abuse. I've been in an abusive relationship where my it's not laughing, but, you know, somebody tries to push you out of a car while it's moving or tries to control your movements or, you know, like says things like, hey, babe, I just want to let you know I would never hit you. You're going to be getting a beat down. Brace for impact. Papa's coming home.
Damn.
Like, yeah. Like, I mean, not I got out of that because friends and family staged an intervention and were like, because he was, you know, like, I mean, it's just like all those stories from Lifetime. The person is super charming, right. Lots of fun, mm-hmm. Super, you know, just like me, I'm fun.
That's amazing that your friends and family came together.
Yeah. Well, it's hilarious. What is so embarrassing, or at least I always find embarrassing, is like you think, well, at least I have this pride of being educated. Like, I'm educated. So I think I have a BA in creative writing. So I think I'd know how to avoid being hit across the face. But turns out then it's like, we didn't get into physical altercations. It never got that bad, but it was like just more and more
it's fear.
That's,
yeah.
Which, because it starts small, and then it's like you can't hang out with your friends. What?
But we talk about that on the podcast, like a little bit of like the idea of somebody isolating, you know, and how that's a form of abuse that comes on sometimes subtly in a way that, you know, you might not, and then suddenly you're not seeing anybody. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah. Anyways, you guys probably, you've already covered that.
I do think the visual of somebody playing cello with their feet, I think it would require almost like you would have to have no knees, right? You would have to be like.
It's a spectacular feat.
Well, because you have to wrap your legs and hold in one foot the wand.
Mm-hmm. The wand? Is that what it's called?
Wand. The wand.
The bow? I think it's called a bow.
Fuck you. It's a wand in my hand, in my foot. That's right. Yeah, he not only plays the cello with his feet, but he calls his bow a wand. And he says, Maria, will you please wax my wand?
Well, I think it's just like anything. If he's like showboating about it, then... Well, that's not cool. Like, I don't know. But even so, everyone likes to showboat every once in a while. Let him showboat.
I love it.
No deal breaker.
Deal breaker. None of them really are.
Nothing.
We, a little bit with the Maria 20 seconds go, but that was mostly because of the Bluetooth.
Just the fear of lack of communication. If he was always on it,
yeah.
Then that might be hard, but if he was just telling me that every once in a while because it's what he needs.
Have you ever
thank
been
you.
On a...
Thank you for telling me what you need with your words.
Thank
you. I don't have to figure
Who's
it out.
Who's that woman? What's her name?
That's a, you know, a lady, professional lady.
I really love the idea of, when I first moved to LA, one of the things that I sort of noticed, and I wasn't able to sort of put it into words until later, but the idea of like the self-describer, I'm really creative, just like what you were doing. Yeah. Like I'm a very spiritual person. I have a lot of different interests. I'm very passionate. I'm I will tell you directly to your face.
Oh God. You mean I'm horrible.
But that's because I'm a Sag.
Exactly.
I have literally always been drawn to trees. I just it's there. They represent Earth.
I liked LA because of the passive aggressiveness. Like, it does remind me of the Midwest, where it's like, even if people are pleasant, even if they don't mean what they say. Like, even if I never see somebody again, they're like,
"You're fantastic. You're amazing. You are so talented, and I cannot remember your name." You know what? The hot dogs are for principal talent only. The background extra hot dogs are 2,000 yards away behind two warehouses and a truck that's on. A semi that is running. That's where the background extra hot dogs are. The same exact hot dogs.
But I prefer that to, like, New York people just will be the media to your face, which can be a relief, I guess. At least you know where you stand. But I would rather not know where I stand. I'd rather live in darkness, thinking that I'm doing okay.
Oh, I love you. I do. What are we? Are we going to do a break?
We could do the game, but I'm thinking, because you have a show tonight,
okay,
we should get to the callers, or we can do a 5-minute break and then get to the callers.
Okay.
Sound good?
It's okay. Perfect. Excited for the callers.
We're ready to start.
Okay.
Let's do it. We're going to call Tiffany first. Tiffany is in San Francisco, and she's 27.
Hi, Tiffany.
Not yet.
Oh, not yet? I'm so ready.
Hello, this is Tiffany.
Tiffany, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Tiffany. How are you? It's Anna.
Hi, Anna. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. And we're here with the brilliant Maria Bamford, and she's so fucking funny, and we're having
the best time with Maria.
A lot of fun. If you don't know, I'm a comedian.
We talked about abuse.
Oh God, we've talked.
Shoelaces.
Oh my goodness.
I'm so excited to hear what your question is, so that I can ramble on.
Well, Tiffany, tell us about your husband's career plans.
Oh.
So he has always dreamt of being an actor. That's like his dream job. He loves to entertain people, and he's done a couple of films for fun with friends, and he always loves it. And, you know, we have a 4-month-old baby, and so it's a little complicated now, but that's like that would be his dream thing, is to go to LA and be an actor.
Oh, he wants to go to LA. Like, he's ready to
pack up the entire family and move to LA to try it out.
And is that financially feasible at all for you guys, or is it?
Not really, but I mean, I'm sure we can make it happen. But of course, like, you know, that's my fear, is the financial thing, and also just insecurities I have about him being an actor too.
What are your fears about him being an actor?
I'm definitely a very jealous person. So, like, if he ever was to make it and be in, you know, productions with, you know, wonderful, amazing, sexy women, then I'd be like, ah.
He would have to book a role first. And if he does that, that's amazing. You can cross that bridge later. But there's a big, I mean.
That's a fun sort of role-playing activity in bed, I think. But I think it isn't anything you have to worry about at this given moment, or even, like, you know, I think.
Not even close.
And that could happen no matter what job he has. He could work with some hot piece of cinnamon roll, and it might be freaky. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, acting, what I found, and I've only started a year ago, but what I found about kissing other strangers, and I've kissed other strangers, is that you don't, it's just like, it's like kissing a piece of meat.
Sometimes it's like kissing a clam.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
it's wet.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, a little moist.
Well, just in the sense that it's so clinical.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, there's a gazillion people standing around you and, you know, it's work.
You have to do it over and over and over again. And it's kind of not, it's kind of disgusting in that people have eaten lunch and it doesn't, they smell like garlic. Yeah.
And both party members are, you can't help but be concerned about the way you're kissing, the way you're looking as you're kissing. Like, is this too much? You're so focused about, at least I am in my kissing scenes. Like, I'm so worried about, am I doing this right? That I don't have room in my brain for like lust.
Yeah, you're cold. They're
light. That's good to hear, though.
Yeah, there's so much else going on. I was actually just did a nude scene in my TV show. I'm full naked.
What?
And because I wanted to do a funny scene where a lady was naked, and my husband was there at the shoot, and it was really wonderful and supportive to have him there. And he's a fellow artist. He's not a but he was just he has always painted painted naked ladies, and yeah, it's not even about that. It's about the human form, you know. Yeah. It's not really.
But
anyways, yeah.
Tiffany, I do think that we sort of jumped ahead of ourselves
I'm sorry.
But I think that he you're married, you have a kid. I'm all for pursuing a dream, and I don't want him to resent you for, if he has regrets about. But how old is he again? Do you mind my asking? I know I hate to ask that because it isn't. We're an ageist town.
No, it's okay. He is 28.
Well, still young. But I think that what he has to do, he, in my opinion, with a 4-month-old moving to LA with very little resource, is an incredibly difficult thing to do.
It's the worst idea ever.
And will cause a lot of strain in your relationship. So I think that he needs to be more proactive where he is right now. That, like, theater, like, stuff he can do at night.
And maybe research, like, come down to LA for a weekend. Like, see what it's even like. You know, see what it's like to be here. Because sometimes you find out more about a dream and you're like, oh, like, this is the kind of apartment I would live in if we could afford this place, or I'd have to sleep on somebody's couch for 3 months till the baby could come. I mean, once it gets real.
Months and years of potential rejection, you know, I mean,
I know we're sounding really discouraging.
I know, and I don't mean to.
But it's the truth.
No, not at all. It's good to know because he's always wondered this as well. You know, he's always wondered, is it even worth it? Because he understands that. He knows that it is a very hard thing to do and sometimes take, you know, because of rejections and it takes a long time and all that kind of stuff. So I totally get that. And I think that's why he's also just, you know, not pursued it as well as, you know, trying to think of me and then now our baby. But at the same time, I can tell, like, every time he, like, does something for fun with his friends or he sees, like, a movie he really loves, like, he's like, man, I wish I could be an actor. Like, that would be so amazing. And he even set up a profile for himself at one point because my friend, she used to do film, and so she knows the sites and everything, and he even set himself up her profile, and he was getting a lot of, like, hits to do, like, short films and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like because of me, he hasn't pursued it further because I've always been like, no.
No, don't but, blame yourself. Like, people make their own choices. Like, I think that's one thing our therapist always tells us, like, it's both your issues. If it's a problem for somebody, like, his acting is now, it's a team effort. Like, so you guys can deal with it together. I mean, that's kind of the awesome thing about marriage is, like, well, what can he do where he is? Like, what could bloom where you're planted? Like, the web is so awesome where you can make your own stuff, put it out there, make your own weird web series.
That's what he should be doing. You're right.
And acting classes and you know, or just being sure. proactive.
He needs to be prepared. He needs to do the work. And you can't just move down and expect to get auditions or find an agent. There's a lot of work required.
There's a lot of work.
And just make your own thing, because it sounds like that's the thing that makes him happiest is making stuff. So just make something. Keep making stuff.
But and also know, Tiffany, you know, with a 4-month-old, you guys have just been, your life has been completely tidal waved. And so, your lives, I should say. But so I think that people tend to find themselves suddenly trapped after a baby. And so he may be expressing this now more than usual, because he's like, oh, I have to be an adult. And this is a lot. And because it is a lot. It's a whole lot. You have... So keep that in mind as he's like planning an escape. I mean, you know, an escape with you guys, but like,
oh my gosh, I just had this idea.
What?
That you guys could do like a 3-person soap opera with yourself, with your iPhone, starring your baby, where your baby is like
the killer.
Is like the killer. Yes. Yes. It's like a mystery. The baby's the killer. And like you got.
Shit,
you
gave it away.
You pay. Well.
Okay. Okay. But yeah. Okay. Yeah, baby's the killer.
Yeah. Deadline baby. And then like, yeah. And that's all stuff you can. And the, you know, the baby's like asleep and it's like, oh, he's, you know, we can finally get things done. You know,
I can take a shower.
Yeah.
The baby is
the baby.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. So exciting.
Did you hear that? What? Was it the crib?
Oh, yeah. The crib. Yeah. And, oh, I'm so excited for you and your new, your baby mystery show.
No, but.
Let's give her some final advice here.
It's really hard to be in the position of discouraging anybody because you don't want your partner to resent you. But my opinion on this is that he needs to stay. He should stay. You guys should stay local and do. There is so much to do now. The way content is created, that you can. You don't have to be in LA to learn. To learn a lot.
It's so true. You can do it anywhere. Yeah. You have an iPhone.
And that's what people in LA are doing, is like creating their own content, making stuff, and then it's like, then, you know, things get, I mean, I did a web series of 20 episodes, and that's basically, on some level, like, built my career and, you know, with a lot of other things, but, you know, I've been able to make a good living. I'm not, you know, giantly famous, but, I can make a living, and that's good. But Ellie, it is extremely, like, I don't think it's the answer to creative fulfillment for sure.
I spent 12 years in Seattle acting before I moved down here, and that wasn't the path to like being able to necessarily make a living as an actor up there, but it gave me essential training. Whether that was learning how to deal with rejection, learning how to audition, which is very different than actually, you know, being part of a production. There's a lot to learn locally. And that gave me all those tools, all that hardship and climbing up slowly in the Seattle theater community gave me what I needed to the experience that I needed in order to move to LA. So I'm really grateful for that. And I think that's, I got the notable scary movie. My mom is so
proud. Put in the work first.
Right. And I think that's, I would gently encourage your husband. Does that sound good?
No, that's great. That's great feedback because, I mean, there is a lot of stuff going on in San Francisco a lot of times.
It's not like you're out in the middle of nowhere at all.
And virtual reality. Yeah. Oh, my God. You're going to have an ongoing series with your baby. It's a VR virtual reality series. And it's like your baby's like is the murderer. And it is so scary and people love it. And your husband gets to play all the parts. And you can play a part if you want, or you could just be the executive producer and just sell merch on the side.
I love it. That's great. We're going to do it.
Good. Excellent.
Tiffany, thank you so much.
Tiffany. Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome.
I love you.
Love you.
Bye.
I know. It's a tough but easy thing to say.
Yay.
And I like saying it, but it makes people uncomfortable.
Wait, when you say I love you?
I love
because
you.
Because of the pause afterwards? Because she didn't say it back right away?
Because it's an intimate thing to say. Usually you say that to somebody when you're like staring them deep, when you know them. But I have a deep love and appreciation for our listeners.
They're the best.
For our callers.
We have the best listeners.
Oh,
we're going to call one right now, actually.
Oh,
our last caller, our last listener. Her name is Liana, and she's in Montreal, and she's 30.
Hello?
Liana, it's Sim.
Hi, Sim.
Hi, Liana. It's Anna. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing, Anna?
Good. And we're here with the brilliant Maria Bamford. She's a genius.
And Maria, by the way, I should say this first, Maria, before you say hi. You have a Netflix special out right now.
Yeah, called Old Baby. So I'm promoting that to you.
And I just watched it, actually.
Did you? Oh, thank you.
What'd you think?
God.
It was hilarious, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was super funny. And I'd forgotten, but I'd seen the previous Netflix special. And oh my God, on Arrested Development,
check out Lady Dynamite if you haven't already. Lady Dynamite
I haven't.
Real.
I'm going to write that down. Like an old person, I like to write things down.
That's how I became familiar with Maria when I finally learned what my husband's Netflix passcode was. And I clicked on Lady Dynamite and I just had an instant obsession. And here she is in my house.
I can't wait until you hear this podcast, Liana. Oh my God, this is hysterical. You're going to be laughing throughout.
I'm probably going to die. Well, yeah, I'm glad you gave me a warning because I'm probably going to pee my pants. So thanks for letting me know.
Definitely. So Liana, tell us about this package that was delivered to your house.
So
a few months back, probably after Black Friday sale time, I received a package at my front door that I had to sign for, and there were customs to pay because it was a package from the States and it came through to Canada, so I had to pay customs for it. So I gave the guy my credit card, and while he's passing it through, I happened to notice the name on the package, like the sender. And the sender happens to be this jeweler, this artist from, I believe it's Seattle. But anyway, it's this jeweler that I had put on a list of potential engagement rings for my boyfriend to click on. So that way there's literally zero work to do, just like point and click and then pick the one that you want. And each one even had notes like, this is why I like this one. And this is why I like this one. And buy it in this size and this finish and all that stuff. So like, whenever it comes to buying gifts, he really freaks out. Even if it comes to buying the same gift card he buys every year for his dad, for some reason, just like buying things for other people is a really big deal. So I just kind of like take charge of that since it's been such a long time we've been together. I know that's how he works and it just makes it easier on him. And that way I don't have to deal with him being like a meltdown all the time. So to sum up, the envelope came. I put it on my boyfriend's desk and I was just like, oh, hey, babe, you got something in the mail, fake customs on it. I just left it on your desk and I left it at that. Didn't say anything else. And I didn't say anything to anybody. And I tried to put it out of my mind and like, hopefully that, because I didn't inspect the envelope. I was thinking maybe I just kind of invented it. It was a similar name. Who knows? Whatever. So just the other day I was cleaning up and I was putting some stuff away and I opened the drawer to the side table and I just threw some stuff in and I noticed the envelope is there and it's ripped open. And right next to it is a little like business card that has a picture of a ring on it. And I'm like, well, could you be a little more subtle where if you're hiding places, maybe not put it someplace that's so easily accessible. But anyway, like the box is there and everything. And so now I'm just like, what the fuck? And also like I'm dying because we've been together. Well, we've been friends for about 10 years now. So now all of our friends are mutual friends and everybody that I know, he's known longer. So obviously their loyalties are to him. So there's nobody that I can talk to about this. And I've been freaking out all on my own because I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do? Like, am I supposed to act like I don't know?
And you would say this would be very happy, right? Obviously, right? You would be super.
Oh, yes, of course. This is totally expected. It's actually, you know, we've been together for 7 years now, and we've known each other for almost 10 years, and we've already talked in detail about how we would want to get married and like engagements and stuff like that.
Oh, you found a file too, right? What about that file you found on his computer?
That was the other thing I was going to say. So I walked into the room the other day where he has his computer when he works at home, and he had like a Google Docs page open with a bunch of files, and one of them was called Wedding Planner. And as soon as I walked into the room, so I started talking to him and he didn't notice it at first. And then like within seconds, he closed it as if like he was trying to hide porn from me or something, like it's something really bad that I shouldn't have seen. And I'm just like, it's not just, you know, wedding ideas or wedding budget or wedding plan. So I'm like, planner, what is happening? So now, of course, because I have, you know, my own neuroses, I'm just sitting here like with my insomnia late at night thinking about it like, oh my God, is he planning a secret wedding? I don't want a surprise wedding. Am I supposed to act surprised? I don't know what to do. And yeah, I've just been freaking out.
Well, okay.
About this really big secret.
When Chris was like, we talked about getting married, you know, we were living together and one day I found a bag from a jeweler on this one that I liked on the floor of his truck. And so I knew something was coming. I knew something was coming, but it took months. It took months. And apparently we all went to Italy. Like my family took all of us to Italy and apparently
that's
he lugged
so beautiful.
It was awesome, but he lugged it all around Italy. Hung on to it for a couple more months. And so I think I knew for like 7 months. And so finally he asked me on my birthday. And he told me later on, I confessed. I was like, because he was like, you knew this was coming.
I know,
like,
I'm totally going to confess when it finally comes down to it. Because to be honest, I've actually been kind of an asshole about it because first of all, I have a really good poker face.
Liana, why?
At lying. So every once in a while, I'll just like drop these hints about like, oh, people getting married or like engagements or whatever. And I just like stare him down like a predator and wait.
Oh, you're mean.
Like, yeah, I'm a beast. Like I have to. And I don't flinch. Like
I would be scared to plan a surprise wedding for.
But the thing is, like, I bring it up in a context that I'm like being a sarcastic
right.
joke.
No, I'm sure
he can never tell
he's totally
if I'm
charmed
being
by
serious
it.
Or not. And then I just kind of like shrug it off as if I said nothing, and like I move on. And then I look like peripherally, and he's kind of like squirming in his seat. And I kind of enjoy it because, you know, it's that whole cat and mouse.
Oh, totally
thing. But
relish
at the same
this
time. Yeah.
No, course, I mean it.
I don't want to be a total monster about it, but at the same time, I am enjoying having fun.
Yeah,
with
and
it.
listen, let him have his moment too. You know, like I know even if a couple months pass and nothing happens, resist the temptation to like show your hand at all, because it, for your own happiness too, if you know, let him sort of create the surprise for you, you know?
Exactly.
And that is so nice. Yeah, to let somebody have the opportunity to surprise you.
Yeah.
Because he can't wait to do this. He's been planning this for months now.
It's always like with a surprise
party. It must
be
even longer than that, you know, because we've talked about it for years already because we've known each other for so, so long. And I mean, I definitely don't want to like steal his thunder or like ruin the surprise, but I know that I'm totally like, I don't know.
This is going to be one of the biggest tests of your life, because here's what I'm going to tell you to do. I'm going to tell you to sit on this like you've never sat before, and don't say anything to any of your friends. Any family members.
No intention to.
Do not.
And my parents have acted a little weird sometimes too around me.
Everybody knows. They're all, listen, everyone is super stoked.
Okay.
But here, you have to give them this. You are going to be an actress and everyone's going to be so happy.
But like, what do you think this file means? Like,
I don't, you know,
nothing.
What?
He's doing research. I'm sure he's an organized person. Yeah. He's been doing some research on the internet, and he's putting articles or whatever inside a folder so he knows that when the time comes. I mean, every guy will do that. He's just an organized guy, I bet.
His ideas,
I don't think.
Which is going to be so sweet when you see his ideas of like what he wants to do. I mean, nice.
I mean, I wouldn't jump to the idea of surprise wedding necessarily. Even though I personally think that would be my dream.
Wait, if someone surprised you?
Oh my God, that would be,
I hate surprise parties.
I thought you hated surprises.
But I hate weddings more.
Weddings, the planning of weddings is so stressful.
Yet you want to be an ordained minister, but you hate weddings.
No, I don't hate weddings. I hate wedding planning.
Oh, you hate wedding planning.
I really want to keep it small and like intimate with really just close family. And my family knows that because like I have health issues, like I suffer from chronic migraines, so it's really hard for me to do like big parties and things like that because I'm just not going to feel well. So they know that when it comes time for something like that, it's going to be small, it's going to be low key, and it's going to be not what they expect. So
it's going to be wonderful.
I'm sure he knows that about you, especially, you know, like, and you know the thing about him giving gifts, that he's super anxious about it. So it's okay, and he'll, it's awesome. It's going to be great.
Yeah, if you can.
I can't believe I'm talking to you guys right now. This is so surreal.
Well, I think it's really nice to hear a great love story. I'm really happy for you guys, and I'm telling you, if you can do your, like, try your hardest to
act surprised?
To just keep this to yourself.
And what about act surprised? She has to act surprised.
Yeah,
and how long do I wait after the fact before I confess
now that I've known
for like 1,000 years?
Okay, now that you've told me a little more, my vote would be to never tell him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I would tell him. I think it's serious, because then you're friends.
Well, because
friends.
Here's the thing is that the parents are acting weird, everybody kind of knows, and they're going to be so happy for that moment. And if they hear the story that like she kind of knew, it'll diminish something for them. I mean, if you want to, Liana, but it's your call. But
I don't know.
I'm at a place where I don't.
Well, I kind of feel like they might know, because at one point he mentioned that once the time comes, that he would ask my dad's permission, which is really old fashioned, and we're not old fashioned people, but he knew that it would be like a gesture that my dad would basically get all verklempt, you know, because we're Jewish, so we'd get all emotional about, and that he would really be accepted by the family because, you know, he's not Jewish, and that can be an issue for some parts of the family, but everybody's met him and everybody loves him. And that's the other thing. I'm going out to visit my family in Vancouver this summer, and he's staying behind because he has a conference to do. And we were talking about maybe him coming out to join me after the fact. And, you know, one of the things I kept mentioning to him is that my grandmother is not going to be around forever. You know, oh, if only Bubby could live to see me, you know, with you. She just wants to know we're happy to get. I'm really good at the guilt.
Yeah,
thing.
I know.
You know,
it's like
I'm born into it.
Wow.
If you've said it once, he's heard it. You know, like you just say it once, and people hear that kind of stuff. Like he knows.
Yes.
He knows, especially if you've said it more than once. Then for sure he knows. But I'm not a romantic person, so I'm all about telling everybody everything. So my husband and I, we both knew we were going to get engaged, and we got engaged in front of my parents. He got down on one knee and asked my parents.
I love that.
In front of your parents?
Aww. Yeah, so yeah, yeah. Which was, so.
That's beautiful.
Whatever way you do it, it's great. You know, whatever way, it's
I
awesome.
Actually think it's, I think, I'm not about this, like I have a whole thing with, I don't understand why engagements are surprises. It feels like total entrapment, but I
exactly.
do understand.
I've already specified though that if he does it in public, like with a big screen TV, I will flat out say no. If he puts it in food, I will say no. Like I don't like there were some very basic rules
specifics.
That are like more common sense rules that are kind of it's more of a joke, but
okay, good.
Like. Don't do these stupid things, please.
Oh, what would be the acceptable thing? What?
Wait, so would
well,
you
honestly,
really? She would really say like no as a joke and like crush
wait,
it.
Wait, but wait, no, seriously though. What,
well,
Liana? What would
if
be
it
your
happens like?
Yeah, what sorry? Would be your what would be your dream engagement thing?
Oh yeah, that's a good question. What's your dream?
Honestly, I think I probably thought about it when I was a lot younger, but. The importance of engagement and the reason that I want to be engaged have changed so much over the past like 10 years that I, at this point, I don't even care like how it happens. I just want to know that it's happening so that my family can, you know, feel happy and that we can just celebrate our union, like the fact that we're together with the people that care about us most. So
if you honestly have a specific, I really
don't care how it happens.
If you do have a specific fantasy though of how you want it to happen, just tell him. Oh my God, don't make him guess. Like I had a friend who got really mad at her fiancé because he got stumbly and he just kind of went, so do you want to do this? And then handed her the ring. And she's like, what? And then they got into this huge fight.
That's kind of how my boyfriend asked me to be his girlfriend, though. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, Maria has a great point.
Like, tell him.
It's either that or temper your expectations. Like, really try to understand that nobody's going to get it perfect. Nobody.
Because she had him redo the ask.
I don't know how many guys are going to be wanting. I don't know. I don't think I would want to be told from Amy, this is how you should propose to me.
I agree. But so that's what I'm. But,
that would be annoying
to me.
But
they've lived together for seven. They've known each other 10 years. They've lived. Like, she may have, if she's telling him what not to do, she may as well guide him towards
what to do. She's very clear on what not
and
to
at
do.
This point, yeah, at this point, if I had like something in my mind, I have no qualms about being totally upfront and honest about all of that kind of stuff. We've already been honest about everything that we expect out of like a partnership and like a wedding and all of that kind of nonsense. So it's really like, I just don't want it to be a huge fuss, basically. Like, I don't want him to make himself nervous to the point that he feels sick about it. I just want it to be like casual because we're, you know, like that's the kind of people we are. We don't like to make a big fuss about things. We like things to be just small and intimate. So as long as it's just like a low key kind of a thing, I'll be really, really happy. But if it's like something where like there's a rush in front of everybody, I'd be so embarrassed, but it would still be obviously magical, but it would also make me throw up.
Does every woman think about this? I'm curious. I'm asking all of you right now.
I never thought I'd get married.
Is Amy going through this right now? I need to know this.
No. Well, it depends on who she is.
My girlfriend.
Or what she like. You know?
She's the best. She's amazing. But I'm just wondering, like, if she's keeping this a secret, the way she's feeling right now. If Amy's going through this right now, I mean, I would...
Listen, it's a big moment for people. You know, it's a big moment in somebody's life in general. And we are at the disadvantage traditionally by, you know, we are the surprisee.
I don't like that.
Men are the surpriser.
That's
so
true.
You already have your year of anticipation or like you have.
Sure.
But meanwhile, we're left in the dark. We like, what the fuck is it going to happen?
But I don't like that. I don't like that I'm giving Amy this feeling if I am. I don't
That's
like that
then,
she's feeling
you know
this
what?
Way.
I
that,
would
does that
love
mean I,
it if
yeah.
you told her that.
Well, if you don't like that you're giving her this feeling, if you do intend on like being together in the long run, you could always say that you, the tables can turn and that you're okay with it. Because to be honest, I've thought about asking him before. And I even flat out told him, I've thought about asking you before, but I knew you that you would say no because you're not ready. And he said that that's true. So I know him that well that, like, in my case, it wouldn't have worked for me to ask him. But I think that in a couple that it could work, you know, why not be open about that too?
Right. No, we're, I mean, Amy and I are open about the fact that she knows it's coming soon. So it's going to happen at some point this year. That's all she knows. But
oh,
is it she
so
burning?
Exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I hear I'm completely honest with her about it. And she knows it. And she's excited. And I'm excited,
yeah,
too.
But if it's coming within the coming year, not within the coming 7 years, you know. So.
Yeah.
Well, Liana, will you keep us posted on what, you know, everything that happens? And it sounds like you have a great relationship, and I'm really happy for
congratulations.
You.
Congratulations.
Yay, congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you, guys. And it was really a lot of fun talking to you all. I know that you probably have other calls to do or that you've already been at this for a while. So thanks for taking the time to talk
thank
to me.
Thank you so much.
Honestly, I'm such a fan of the show. I've been listening since like probably the fourth episode, and
Liana,
ever
I love
since.
You.
I love you too, Anna. I honestly, like, when Sim called me today, I swear I was watching House Bunny, and I'm not lying. When I answered the phone, I was going to be like, "Hello, Sim," but I didn't want to like totally freak him out from the get go. So
Maria does an amazing gravel voice.
Oh, yeah.
That's a very good gravel voice.
Thank you.
Whoa, Maria, that was awesome.
I told you.
Are you kidding me? That was incredible.
Good luck with marriage. And wanna be super fun.
Cut out or something, but like I hear you guys laughing. I guess
Maria, no,
said,
you'll hear it back. You
she
can,
said,
yeah.
Good luck with marriage. It'll be super fun, but in a demon voice.
Wait until you hear it back. You'll laugh for sure.
Can I be your translator? Thanks, Liana.
Thanks, Liana.
Thank you guys so much, and like keep doing what you're doing, Anna. I really love your show, and it's funny because Dave Bautista came on Instagram Live the other day, and I commented that I listened to his episode like just that day, and that I loved it. He was and his response out loud was that he loved doing the show with you, and that you were super sweet. And so I just wanted to say that because it was such a random
thing
that he even read my comment. So
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thanks, Liana.
Thanks,
all right,
Liana.
Well, you guys take care.
Yeah, let us know when this happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll send you a message, and you know, if you can be invited. If it happens in Montreal, you can come here.
It.
If it's a surprise in Vancouver, well, I guess it's closer. So
bye, Liana.
Bye.
All right, bye. Take care.
That's
awesome.
Ready to wrap this up?
All right. Maria, thank you.
Thank you so
much
for having me. It was super fun.
You
this
are
is
just
an incredible,
will you,
incredible episode.
If you ever feel like coming back, will you?
Oh, yes.
Will you
of
move in?
Yeah, no, okay, certainly. I'll move in. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of cozy spots just in this room alone.
I'm famous for my attic.
I don't know if I trust you, Anna Faris.
I'm famous for my attic.
Do you have an axe collection up there?
I'm going to say that in the sexiest voice I possibly can. I'm famous for my attic.
Oh. What do you have? Do you have bear skills?
My attic is dark.
I think that's a euphemism.
That's the voice I love. Will you do a little more? Wait, I can't do it.
You can do it. You're doing it.
It's a little bit back here or something like this.
Listen,
right?
I'm so grateful to have been on the show today. And it's just going to be really wonderful to think back of what we've talked about on my way to San Marino to a steakhouse where I'm doing an open mic with my husband, Vance Sanders, and a couple other comics. In the back, the food is not free, neither are drinks. FY to the I. It's a bringer.
Oh, I almost did a spit take.
Oh my God. Follow us on Qualified, all social media. Thank you so much. This is an incredible episode. Maria, thank you. Thank you. Thank you
so much for having me. Thank you. Yay.